The Chemic Royals Cricket Club podcast is proud to be sponsored by Royalty Plumbing. Royalty Plumbing is a reliable plumbing, gas and electrical company dedicated to providing quality service throughout the Perth area. Give them a call today on 9451 7735.
Yeah, thank you to Royalty Plumbing. Episode 2 of the Kenwick Cricket Club podcast. Sean Ingram is with me as always. We have a massive guest, Sean. Let's get into some of his credentials.
Life member of the cricket club, ex-president, believe he was patron at one point as well. James August, welcome to the Kenwick Cricket Club podcast. How are you?
Matty, I'm just privileged to be here.
How's it feel?
Wet.
Wet? It is a wet night outside. You're the first ever guest.
I believe this is only the second podcast.
It is, but still, you're the first one ever. So in 20 years' time, when someone else is hosting it, you'll be looked back on as the very first man to enter the podcast arena.
Matty, when you asked me to come here, you told me this was a weekly thing. So am I being shortchanged here? Am I only getting a week?
Oh, we'll have to see how you perform.
Okay.
So now, look. We've had a lot of questions submitted for you, so we'll get to them later. But we're gonna challenge you first up, James, because you've played a lot of cricket over your time, probably more than is on my cricket. Is that fair to say?
I'd say. Well, my cricket, I don't know when that started, but there was a lot of cricket beforehand. So I don't think it records everything, but I believe some have entered some details from prior years. I don't know how accurate it is, but yeah, there's some there.
Don't go on my cricket, mate.
No, I'm not going on my cricket.
He was tempted, wasn't he?
No, I wasn't going to my cricket.
Now, look, what we're gonna ask you, based on your my cricket stats, let's see how close you can get to some of your career stats.
Sure.
So this is based on my cricket. So I'm going to start off with matches. This is in total, so I don't know. It says you played for Kenwick and Riverton.
That's an easy one, Matt. It was 400 for Kenwick and only one for Riverton.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a bit about that later, but 401 is correct. Yeah. Do you know your high score?
137.
Nailed it.
Banana.
Best bowling figures?
Ooh. 8 for something. I couldn't tell you how many.
8 for 74.
A bit expensive.
Couldn't tell you where that was, Matt, to be honest. I wouldn't have a clue.
Fair enough. Do you know how many career runs you've made?
It's a few.
10,000?
10,400.
400? Oh, okay. I wonder where I got the extra 400 from.
What about wickets?
Oh, that's not as good, Matt. So I stalled.
Still pretty handy.
It took some gloves for a little while, but I've got 400 and so. I know it's below Gunny. I know that. And that grades me.
439. Yeah. You did take the gloves for a while.
I did, yes.
Pretty handy with the ball, though. What about catches?
Oh, no idea, mate. Wouldn't have a clue.
253.
Are there many?
Yeah. Oh, okay. A lot behind the stumps, surely. Yeah, true, yeah. What about stumpings? Any idea on that?
No idea, mate.
32.
Is that 32. Is that a record? I know I've been through it before.
It'd be close. He'd be up there. No, in the Kenwick Cricket Club. Oh,
okay. I feel like only Kemp would know who holds that record. Idea, and Kemp. It's not him, so.
Glorious keeper that he is.
A lot of important overs bowled there.
A lot of wides too, Matt, just quietly.
There are. Do you know how many hundreds you've made?
No.
No?
No, I haven't made one for a long, long time, though.
15.
I don't think it's that many, is it?
Well, it's just 15 okay, here. Right. Now, this is impressive. Half centuries. How many half centuries do you think you've made?
No idea, Matt. 20?
58. You've made 58 half centuries.
I'd like to say, between us three here, we have 15 centuries and 58 half centuries.
Yeah, well done. That's an impressive stat.
Happy to share them.
Thank you. Let's move on, James, because we are going to go into... Your good bloke's 11. Sean wanted to ask about this.
Tough, that's tough.
So, Sean, take it away. You were real interested to find out who he liked playing with.
Yeah, so we've sort of been through this before with Kemp, and if not on this podcast, but we've gone a few, and some interesting answers have come out. So I was just curious, considering you've been playing for the club, 400 matches, that's a lot of different players you've played with. I'd just like to know, sort of going through, opening bats all the way down, who would you have?
In order.
If it's so hard, you don't have to do it in order.
Give us your feeling.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is in no particular order of people who I've enjoyed playing cricket with, and not just because of their skill, but because they're a good time to have.
Yeah.
People that come straight to mind, Paul Delbarello. So the spaceman, as we used to call him. He still is a bit of a spaceman, as you know. So Dubs and I played... in the 90s, playing first grade together. Dubs was a space cadet then, and I believe he's still a space cadet, so nothing's changed there. So Dubs is always good. a couple of the old timers, so Alwyn Hambley, who played. So Alwyn was playing first grade in the 70s.
Yeah.
Probably even earlier, and played in our last first grade premiership in 94. So, and Alwyn is always a, he was a good fella, so he was always enjoyable to play cricket with. So to play for that long and that longevity, that's pretty good. Other people, you can't go past people like Johnny Saff.
No.
And so Johnny, around Johnny Saff here, we had Paul Plewright, who I enjoyed playing cricket with. We want to
can break it here. Looks like he's coming back next season.
Is that right, Paul
Plewright? I've been in touch with him, and there's rumours he's coming.
He's a good fellow to play cricket with. I always enjoyed playing with him and Robbie Steffen. They were always good blokes to play with. Jeez, well, how many is that?
We've got to four.
Is that all?
We've got four. No, Saff, sure, Alwyn Hambley, Rob Steffen and Darbs.
Jeff Martin.
Oh, Paul Plewright.
Yeah, Jeff Martin and the crew. So it would have been Dave Blackburn, Dave Wademan, those crew where we got two flags in the beginning of the early 2000s, mid-2000s. So we were, that crew of four of us probably played in about five or six flags. So they were always good fun to play with.
Yep.
Very competitive.
Burnsy up there?
Yeah, Burnsy, he'd be an honourable mention. other players, probably the modern era. Aaron Atkinson was always good fun to play with.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's other blokes. Tomo, Kempe, they're all good fun, but for different reasons. You know, not necessarily the best guys to play with, but, you know, I enjoyed playing with you two.
Yeah.
You, Maddie, you know, enjoyed playing cricket with. So as long as you're having a good time, that's what it's all about. It's going out there playing with your mates, not taking it too seriously. You know, there's more important things in life. But
I find you win more games when you're enjoying it more.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if there's no shenanigans going on the ground, you know, as long as blokes are behaving themselves, there's always a bit of fun, but, you know, bit of banter, nothing wrong with that occasionally. So, you know, they're guys I like playing with. You know, there's other guys, older guys, Michael Kay, you know,
Mickey Kay,
Richard Pommersbach was another fella I used to like playing cricket with. Just those, you know, Craig Morris, Jeff Moore, those guys, you know, from way back. So, it's different. I mean, I started in 1989. And, you know, I'm playing with the new crew. I'm getting a bit old now, so it's a bit harder to sort of play cricket. I think I played a Swede game
two years ago. You did. And didn't look like you were out of touch.
Didn't walk for a week after. That's probably the last time I played cricket, to be honest.
Yeah,
it would have been, yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, let's jump into some questions, Sean. We've got a few of our own, and we've also got some asked from the public. So I'll start us off, Sean.
Yeah. These are without notice, too, I'm going to say.
Without notice. Yeah. Could be about anything. You just
could be.
So first one's from Al Martin, who you'd know well.
I do know, thanks, Al.
What's your opinion on the Aussie Olympic team and their efforts so far?
Wouldn't have a clue. Is there Olympics on?
Yeah. It is happening at the moment. Not interested?
Not interested.
Okay, Sean, what have you got off the top there?
This is from Stephen Kemp. He says...
This will be intellectual.
As a former president and life member of the club, you would have seen a lot of events take place in your time associated with the club. During your presidency, what were your most rewarding and challenging aspects of your presidency?
Oh, geez, he's given it a lot of thought, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's also
that's probably the most serious one you're going to get.
He's the same former president and life member, so I wonder what he's got to answer for that. Most rewarding, no idea. what was the other part?
Most challenging.
Most dealing with Stephen, obviously, being one of the most challenging things. I suppose for the cricket club, the most challenging thing is keeping it afloat. That's probably the most challenging thing because historically we struggled with numbers, you know, and funds and sponsors and the like. So that's probably the most challenging. For me, it's good to know it's still going, and I hope guys like you keep it going. In all seriousness, it is pretty hard to get a team on the park, and there's lots of costs associated with it. So that's probably the most challenging if we're going to be serious. But you know, that's probably it, I'd say.
Now, Shakira Clark asked, "What's been your Shakira Clark? This is Colby's girlfriend, so you know Colby Shocker.
Yeah, I know Colby.
Shakira Clark, one game player for the club, played the last round last year to help us fill a one day east side.
Is that right?
And she
probably
was
handy too, I bet.
Oh, she does the job.
Yeah. Actually, I can say she played that game, bowled an over that was a lot better than some of the other blokes bowled on that day.
Nice. What's been your favourite part about playing for the Kenwick Cricket Club?
Leaving."
Leaving.
That's controversy right here. Fun. What's the most fun? Oh, look, I reckon after the games is the most fun. You know, when you had a beer. I can remember in the early 90s, you know, we'd train on a Thursday and we'd still be there at midnight in the club, you know, and you'd be staying late night and you'd turn up on a Saturday and you'd play cricket and go back. So just the camaraderie, being able to play with mates is the most fun. As long as you're enjoying your cricket, that's the thing I enjoy. So you know, that's the rewarding thing, is playing cricket with the people you like to play cricket with.
Yep. Sean.
We've got another one from Al Martin. He asks, what's your morning routine?
Sleep. what time? Geez, Al, real deep. What's my morning?
So I get up at
5:30. I go for a jog.
Oh.
No, I don't.
ridiculous
question. Move on. Next question, please.
Next question, okay. This one from me. When you were playing, was there a team you felt like you always had the measure on, you always scored runs against?
No, I don't know. No, not that I'm aware. I know there's one team we couldn't beat. With CBC. I don't think I've ever played in a game where we've beaten CBC.
Oh, really?
Even when we were like top of the Woz.
Yeah, right.
We couldn't beat them. I don't know what it was. I suppose the one team I did enjoy beating was Mannington. having come from Mannington, so you always enjoy beating them, and some games there that I enjoyed playing them, but there's no one particular, because you play different clubs all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
It's sort of changed when it was no longer South Suburban and involved the Fremantle team, so that sort of brought out new rivalries, and CBC was one of those, so I always enjoyed playing them, but we could never beat them.
Yeah, right.
Mm. And this one's from us. We just want to know,
are you coming out?
Not quite.
Okay. Was getting the opportunity to play with your son at the club a special moment for you?
Oh, yeah. I can remember that. I remember opening the batting with him and playing a game. I think we won against Cannington. But I got a few. I don't think he got any. Well, he's only 12, so. That was good fun playing that, playing cricket with him. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Now, Stephen Kemp asked another question, also David Bentley.
Have these guys got no work to do during the day?
They want to know, and I want to know too, what are the chances? You know what it's going to be, don't you?
Let me finish that question for you. What are the chances of you playing this season? Would that be it?
No, I haven't put no.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the answer,
but go on.
What are the chances of you dusting off the cricket gear and returning this season?
Good answer. Good question. I have no cricket gear, because this, if you recall, Matty, back in October 19, my house had a little fire.
I remember.
And all my cricket gear was destroyed. Whites, bats, the whole lot.
Can get you some.
So I actually don't own any cricket gear.
Yeah.
None at all. I don't own a cricket bat or anything.
Originally, Kempy worded it, are you dusting off the Slazenger? And I thought, well, I can't really say that.
No, the Slazenger, I think I posted a photo on the team.
Yeah, it was black.
Black and charcoal. Yeah. So I don't have that anymore. And that was my favourite bit of kit.
I think you even got new bats and you'd always just go back to the Slazenger.
Correct, I did buy a new bat. I think I spent $800 on that. It was a waste of money. And it just sat at the bottom of the bag. You get a favourite bat and it just seems to, you know, it was one of those bats that if I hit the middle, it sort of stayed hit. And if I didn't, I bought a new bat, paid all that money, hit the middle and didn't go anywhere. So I thought, well, it's either the bat or me. And so I went back to the old bat.
Fair enough.
But I haven't got any gear, Matt. So unfortunately, I don't have any whites. I don't have any cricket gear. And I'm too old, Matt.
So came about...
How, Matt? Like, out of the fairies?
Everyone's got a bit of gear.
No, look, I'm still obviously active in sport in the winter.
Yeah.
You know, but summer, I haven't... It's too hot.
Have you missed it?
I did, well, a while ago. I ran into Lee Martin once, you know, shopping centre. Because Lee used to play it, and Lee was—I think he plays Piara Waters
now. Yeah, he does. Yeah,
and Lee was sort of asked me about that question, because he was thinking of giving up. He goes, "Do you miss it?" And I said, "Well, you do, because you know Saturday's afternoon, you especially early in the season, you just get excited for cricket."
Yeah,
and as the season dragged on, you know, if it weren't going so well, it could get a bit of a drag. But if you're going well, you used to get up and about.
Yeah.
And there was a point at time where we were playing finals every year. And so, you know, if that 6 months solid, it was Saturday. And then Saturday cricket finishes and you think, well, what am I doing for the next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah.
So when I finished, it was like, what are you doing for the next 4 or 5 weeks? And then I just didn't go back. So you sort of miss it at first, but then you just get used to it. So, but, you know, there comes a time, Matt, when you aren't any good anymore. And
it's a lie. Well, for you it is.
No, it's not. It's not a lie, because you, in your mind, you want to do things that you did when you were 20, 25 that you can't do anymore. I can't, you know. I tell you, when I realised it, I was playing a game. You played in that game. I think we were playing South Bertram. Do you remember it? It was at Mills Park 2, and that bloke smashed us all over the place.
Yeah.
I think he got 100 and something, and Kempy was bowling, and I sat under a sky ball, and I thought, I can't catch this. And it was the first time I'd ever thought, I can't catch this, and I dropped it, and I thought, that's it, I'm done. I can't catch it.
Is that pretty easy to accept, or was it pretty frustrating at first?
I knew. There'd been times where I could stand up the ball, no matter how high it went, and you'd catch it, you know, like shelling peas.
I was going to mention it later. I'm pretty sure in that game you went out and made 66 after that. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I might have. But a far man didn't get under. We didn't win, I think. I don't think we won.
That game I was going to bring up later. So okay. That guy who made 100, yep. We actually had stumped twice.
Yeah, so I know. Yeah, well, as you know, Matty, we used to have a little bit of a intense rivalry with South Bertram. Yes. I think we played a couple of games. I think there was a Gunny's 300th game was one of them at yeah. South Bertram. And the bloke chased you down the boundary, a square leg or something.
And got a 2-week suspension. And that was the guy who made the 100 and I had him stumped.
And Gunny was going to bowl the last over when they needed 4 to win or something.
And you said to Burnsy, now give me the ball. I believe we won.
I think we did. But yeah, no, it was that year. And I thought, well, I can't, I couldn't, you know. And when that happens, mate, you just realise and go, well, it's not going to happen anymore. And, you know, if you... And I apologised to Kemby that day because I dropped that catch and that bloke went on. And it was frustrating when I bowled and someone dropped a catch and I thought, well, here I'm.
Yeah.
You know, and, oh, well, it's just life, mate. You get older and...
Because I just remember we were chasing 200 and we're about 7 for 50 and you and Kemp put on a partnership and then towards the end you were bombing sixes all over the place and we fell about 15 runs short. But, obviously, if we all see you scored runs thinking you're going well, you probably think, oh, I'm still not at my best if you know within yourself.
Yeah, so I mean, if I can't hit one over cover anymore, I'm...
Enjoy outswing.
Yeah, you know, then it's a bit of an issue. But and you play to enjoy, man. If you don't enjoy it, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise you're just going to drag everyone else down.
Yeah. Next question, Sean.
Speaking of enjoyment, Colby Shocker wants to know, what's your favourite innings of all time?
Favourite innings of all time? Well, it'd have to be high score.
Oh, not necessarily. Was there like a final or anything where you contributed?
There was a couple of finals. I know there's a couple of finals. Grand final got 100 in a one-day game, but I got caught down leg side. Well, allegedly I'd hit it to the keeper and he appealed and the umpire didn't give it out. And then I'm getting 100 and we won that game. I don't know. I always enjoy batting. If you're making runs, it's fun, isn't it? If you don't not getting out.
We wouldn't know.
it comes, man, at some stage. It will come. You just got to have patience. And apparently you have tons of that. When you're batting.
Yeah, I can bat for a long time. Doesn't mean many runs get scored.
I used to be the same when I was younger. I could bat for a long time, not make any runs. As a junior, I can remember batting, you know, for 30 overs, ending 12 not out. You know, and that was the highlight of my day. And then just one day you go, I'm going to hit this, and you then have no fear. I suppose it's a fear of getting out. No one... To me, that's what batting was early, because Jeff Martin would say that I was always scratchy early, and if you can get past that first bit and you get a bit of confidence, you hit a boundary and, you know, then you free the arms and, you know, your eyes light up and the bowler you sort of target and go, well, he's my next one and start batting all over the park. But best inning, I mean, I can remember, I can't remember them all, obviously, but I do remember the 137 at Kwinana because I got out on the last ball.
Oh, no.
Trying to whack another six. And I think the player ended up with figures about... Because you bowled 8 overs. Was it 48 overs? I think he ended up with 2 for 94. So he got in the paper with 2 for 94 or something off 8 overs, which is... that was fun games.
Yep. Now, this situation where you played one game for Riverton.
Oh, yes.
Now, because I was just at the club then. I barely knew what was happening. But I just remember, did they not change the rules or something after this? So what happened? Tell us what happened.
So what happened was I was coaching juniors, right? I was coaching Willington. My son was playing under 13s or whatever. And we were playing one day E's or something, or one day B. I don't know what it was. We were in some grade. And the whole, I think we had a forfeit somehow. And one of the guys whose kids I coach, he played at Riverton, and he said, oh, why don't you come down and play for us today, you know, because you're not playing. And I said, well, how? And he goes, you know, we'll play under false name. I said, no, I'm not playing under false name. If you get caught, I get rubbed out forever. And I said, they're likely to know who I am, so I'm not going to do that. I said, but I know you can get a transfer really quick. I said, just do it online now. So I rang, I think it was Ryan Hartman was the registrar for Kemwick. I said, can you just give me a transfer to Riverton? Just do it quickly, you know, and I'm going to play for Riverton today. And then I'll transfer back. And that's what he did. So we got a transfer. So I played. It was against Armidale at Armidale.
Yeah.
And
This is within the SMCA.
Yeah,
still.
Within the SMCA. Wow, it was okay. Well, I didn't know at the time, but it ended up being in the same grade I was already playing in because we got regraded or something. So I basically played for two clubs in the one grade.
Oh my God.
So I played the one game. I got 50 odd and I got a wicket and they went, oh, do you want to stay? And I went, no, I'm going back. I promised to play one game. So they still rang me on the Thursday trying to, because the transfer had come back and they had to approve it to go to Kenwick. Yeah. And they said, oh, come down and play. And I went, no, I'm going to stay with Kenwick because I knew we had a really good side anyway.
Yeah. Imagine if they just refused to put the transfer back.
Well, they could have, I suppose. The thing was, we ended up, so it was us, we played Southern Districts in a semi-final.
Yeah.
Thornley played Riverton in another semi-final. Yeah. And Riverton beat Thornley. And Thornley were, I think, second. I think we might have finished. Well, we were second. I know we were up top. Anyway, no, we were first and fourth, and we won. So we went through the grand final, and of course, the call was that we're going to be playing Riverton in the grand final. Anyway, it turned out that Southern Districts, Riverton, and Thornley all played an unregistered player, and so there was no grand final.
Oh, I remember. I heard about this.
And we ended up winning we didn't have a grand final, but because
there was no game at all,
they just gave us the medals. But I would have loved to have known what would have happened if we'd have lost the semi-final. Would they have given us the medal as the loser?
Was it a flat feeling winning it like
it
that?
It was flat because you like to play in the grand final.
Yeah.
And we always thought we had the measure, whoever we were playing.
Yeah.
So Thornley, there was a big rivalry because I think one of the Gedges was playing there and Yates and all those guys who played at Kenwick back and forth were playing Thornley. And I know there was a game that we played and they were sort of walloping us and they got all cocky and then they all sort of left thinking they're going to win and we end up, I think Jeff came on and took what, 6 wickets for nothing and we won the game by a couple of runs and so it was a bit of robbery there, but yeah, it was a hollow feeling, but in a sense we played in quite a few, so it didn't, but just become another game, to be honest.
So did the SMCA immediately make a rule change there?
Yeah, they changed it immediately because they'd seen what had happened. That basically had gone from Kenwick, Riverton to Kenwick in the space of a week. And they made a rule, I think they changed the rules. Gary Hartman who changed the rule. And I think you have to wait 8 weeks between transfers, something like that. So you can't do it immediately. You can't do what I did.
Yeah.
So it was pretty unusual, and I thought, well, it was in the rules. So
yeah, they couldn't have done you for it.
Exploited the rules, and they changed the rules, so it's fair enough.
Yeah. Next question, Sean.
Now, you can pass it because it isn't our Martin question.
But questions.
No, I actually like it, though. It's a good one. I'll ask
it. Well, it better be better than the first two he's asked.
He says, what makes a man like you tick? Now wants to get into the inner sanctum of gym.
Go deep. He's telling me he just wants to go deep. So he wants to know what makes a man like you operate.
I think Al Martin makes Jim tick.
The question we should really be asking is what makes Al Martin tick? Because if anyone can work that out, they're going to unlock plentiful bounty. Because there's, you know, that's a strange lad there. That one. Hal, just get up in the morning, mate, go to work, all right?
That's about it.
Stay away from Facebook because clearly asking far too many questions.
Okay. All right. Braden Lubke has a question.
I love Lubke.
He said, did you feel bad when you collapsed Darbs' windpipe in the nets? Explain what happened.
That's right, Darbs. Because Darbs, you know how Darbs carries on. And he wasn't wearing a helmet, was he?
I think he was, because it got him under there.
It did get him
under the throat.
Under the throat. I do remember that, you know. And it wasn't that quick. Jeez, I'm not that quick. And it bounced, and Darbs misjudged it and hit him in the throat. And I think he sort of realised. And that's that moment, Matty. You realise you can't bat anymore. Darbs should have realised that quite a while ago. And, you know, if he's getting done by my pie chuckers. He got hit in the wind. He didn't. I mean, he just got a bit rattled, but I think he left the net straight after, didn't he?
He did.
Didn't
like it. It was his last ball. I think he said, give me one more.
That's right. Oh, yeah. That was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the D's year where we made the grand final and lost to Thornley.
I think my funnest moment ever bowling, the nets at...
Striker leaning. Yeah,
You remember that?
I think... correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. You were trying to wind back the clock and get quite pacey to an individual, and I haven't played with Jim when he was bowling rapid, and you warmed up against one, and Jake Lockyer really copped the main wrath of it. And I'm telling you, this was quick, mate. I was like, "What the hell is this? Where's this come from?" And he was just—it was rapid.
Yes, I do remember poor Jake copping quite a few. And it wasn't aimed at Jake either.
I know.
Yeah, it was another. But was Jake batting first or second?
I think he was second. And you try.
I think I'd built up by that stage and thought, well, I might as well just let it all out.
Yeah.
And that was probably the last time I did any decent bowling, I think. But that, I do remember that. I remember poor old Jake sort of ducking and diving all over the place.
Yeah, I recall that.
Yeah.
Any more there, Sean?
Yeah, I've got one. What's the weirdest or funniest moment that sort of ever happened to you on a cricket field?
Tried to stab us with a screwdriver.
What?
Yeah.
What happened there?
Wait, can we try guess the team you were playing against?
It wasn't a player. So.
Oh, what?
So we were playing in Hilton.
Yeah.
And
I'm glad you didn't say I was a teammate.
No, it wasn't a team. I think we were playing in Hilton. I don't know who we were playing, so someone. And Dave Wayburn, and so as you know, my former occupation, and some bloke was riding a trail bike, and some bloke was chasing him, saying he'd stolen it. And Dave Wayburn and I sort of chased after him and got the bloke off the bike, and he sort of came at us with a screwdriver, and we were, well, mate, we're out of here. We're playing cricket, you know? That was probably the strangest moment, or the weirdest moment ever on a cricket field. Weirdest moment. They lost a few balls. Jimmy Bryant was going for those 5 sixes.
Oh, yeah, I do remember hearing about that.
He got belt 5 of the biggest sixes I've ever seen. And thought we were going to win that game. It was the semi-final. And the last ball, he only got it for a single. I was very disappointed.
He thought, well, we'll come this far.
I'd like to see one more. And the bloke didn't get it. It was one. But it used to be on the old mills, the back there, the old bushes. And we lost the ball in the bush there a couple of times because this bloke, he teed off. Poor old Jimmy. I don't think he's ever been the same.
Did you see it coming, or was it pretty unexpected?
No, it was pretty unexpected because we were all right. We were going okay, and we were coming towards the end. And Jim, you know, bowling his little slow little darts.
Yeah, quite dangerous.
Yeah, they can be. And I think this bloke, he was a baseballer or something, and he just wound up and hit some of the. And we were gone after that. I think we went from like 150 to 200 in rapid pace. It was like game over.
Yeah,
you know, we never had a look in after that. So.
Yeah. Now, I've got a few questions here.
Are these your questions?
No, from a particular individual. Now, he's wanted to remain anonymous.
Oh, I can't answer anonymous questions, Matt.
I think you'll be able to work out who it is. So you tell me if you can work it out.
Guess the person?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. So first question.
Yep.
He wants to know why in the 1995 grand final...
Dubs. Friggin' Dubs.
Yeah, it is Dubs. He wants to know why in the 1995 grand final, why he was wasted fielding at deep fine leg all day when he could have come on first change and demolished Armidale rather than letting them get within one run.
Dubs, if you'd have come on earlier, the game would have been over before tea. I don't think Dubs bowled a lot that year. Dubs used to back him. See, Dubs was an opening batsman.
Yeah.
That's what he did. And Dubs, he turned up in his little white helmet and he'd come in and bat. You know, and Dubs, he made it. Him and Steve Pascoe, they were two space cadets, both of them, on another planet. Absolutely. It's a wonder they actually, you know, were able to coordinate a single together, let alone, you know, like bat as opening partners. But. Yeah, Dubs. Yeah, Dubs, keep living in the past, mate. Come on.
Second question from Dubs. Yes. Has he ever seen an A-grade opening batsman take on the quickest ball in the competition and hit the new ball for 5 sixes, all hook shots like he did against Thornley?
I don't remember Dubs doing that.
Was it you who did it, maybe?
No, I didn't do it. Dubs couldn't hook. You see him in the nets, he got a throat ball. He can't hook.
Just going off the
question. He can't hook.
Third and final one from Dubs.
Yeah.
How has this man himself, Dubs, never won the Senior Cricketer of the Year award when he's widely regarded by those in the know, including Jeff Martin, for being the best all-rounder in club history?
Well, Dubs, you've got to make runs, you've got to take wickets, and occasionally you've got to hold a catch. Dubs couldn't do all three. He could probably do one, but he couldn't do all three, so that's probably why. I don't know. You saw him when he came back. He did his little cameo comeback a couple of years ago.
He'd always look good to about 20. He'd look real good and would never make more than 15, 20.
And Dubs was always the master of, when he got out, it was the slowest walk off the pitch you'd ever seen. It's like you'd taken his firstborn from him. It was like he was never going to play cricket again. Dubs is next week, mate, next week. But, yeah, no, Dubs. And he couldn't make a run, I think, in that year he played. And then, we'd go out later and we'd score runs and he goes, oh, that's because you blokes get to face the the ordinary bowlers, and you know, well, Darves, if you stayed in long enough, you might get to face them as well.
Yeah. Sean, what's the question you got there?
I want from the Better Collingwood, Jake.
Oh, okay. Jake.
He wants to know, what makes you such a legend, and how many premierships have you won?
Oh, I don't know about legend. There's no legends. Premierships. I think it's 14 or 15.
Wow.
I think.
That's huge.
I do recall you you messaged me earlier today.
Did, mate?
And you said, you sent a picture of your message and said, are we talking about these?
Yep.
And I said, sure. And you said, we won't have enough time.
And we won't, Matt. We won't. No, there's about, I've got a few medals there.
Now, I do have another set of questions from another individual.
Yeah.
Sean Collingwood.
Oh, God.
These are interesting ones. So
they will be, because he's an interesting fellow, isn't he?
You're not going to have much time to respond to this.
Sure.
Who is a bigger idiot, Jim August or James August?
Sean Collingwood.
Okay. What was it like to be a club patron that was never seen at the club?
Well, Sean would know that. I mean, he was club patron with me for about 3 years. Could Sean actually turn up on time for a game? Is he still turning up at 1:30
yes.
or 1 o'clock game?
Yeah.
Is it possible he could turn up on time?
It's a struggle.
Yeah.
It's a severe struggle.
It is, isn't it?
And final one from Sheep. Why do you not return Sheep's calls?
Because I've got a restraining order out, and the court won't take the order if I answer his call, so it's to keep him away.
Right. Okay. Well, we're gonna jump into my cricket, because we've got some games we want to go
cricket.
Through with you.
The Oracle.
Some ones that we've selected.
Okay.
First of all, before we get into them, though, tell us about the first grade season and the grand final, because obviously we went around for that, and obviously our last premiership.
I think Darbs has gone over it enough, has he?
But didn't you take a lot of wickets in that grand final?
I took a couple, mate. I took a couple.
What were the figures?
Five or something.
Oh, not many.
Five, yeah.
Not many.
And a run out. Don't forget the run out. Did Darbs take a wicket that game? Oh, don't think he bowled.
Gee, I mean, I've seen Darbs bowl. I don't know if him bowling is a great idea. Going to start off with round one of the one-day D season in
2016-17.
Oh,
okay.
So,
who's captain?
Burnsy was captain.
Okay.
That season.
Slow down, Burn.
So we bowled first. They made 127.
Ooh, it's about 100 too many for us, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure you were keeping, because you didn't bowl.
Okay.
We then got into the batting innings, and we were in a lot of trouble. But you hid yourself down at number 10.
That'd be Burnsy's fault. He's the captain.
We were 5 for 60, and then we were 8 for 98. And
geez,
fortunately, Burn came in, made 13. You came in, made 29 off 25. I remember you pulling a couple of balls to the boundary late to get us the win. Murray came in, was not out at the other end with you, so I'm sure it was an effort to get there. Do you recall much of that game?
Was that our first game at Mills Park?
It was. The actual
top
side.
The new ground.
Yeah, the top side actually didn't play, because they played, originally we were going to make Mills 1 the main ground, and that ground, because it hadn't been stomped on for footy, was too thick and was waterlogged.
Because I think you'll find that's a quiz night question.
Yeah, right.
Who took the first catch on Mills Park 2?
Was it you?
No, it was Murray Williams.
Was it actually?
Yeah, I do remember how he said it. Yes.
The first catch.
That's so funny.
It is. No, I do. I think I do remember that game, because I think we were in a bit of trouble. Murray came out, and I think he had to face two balls, and I threatened him with death if he tried to play a shot at all. Like, if it's wide of the stumps, you just let it go, Murray, and we'll get it done the next over.
I think his 1 for 16 of his 5 overs was probably good enough contribution for that game.
I don't think he made a run. He didn't make a run, did he?
He did face a ball, I think.
Yeah, no, he had to face a couple, because I said to him, if you get out, I'll kill you. So he didn't get out.
Zero not out of one.
Yeah.
So he played a role.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was not to get out.
Important role.
Now, because I think I hit the winning run and then got out the next ball or something.
Now I'm going to go to the next Cannington game, because I know you enjoyed playing at Wall Street, because you like hitting it over the fence there. You like hitting it onto Wall Street. I've seen you do that a couple of times.
I used to live on Wall Street, Matt, that's why.
So this game, we bowled first. Cannington made 164. We were in a lot of trouble. Darbs are opening the batting, making 9. Jack's 31. We fell to, we were 7 for 81. And I'm already out, and I'm sitting there like, oh, we're in pretty bit of trouble here. And I remember you came at me and said, no, mate, we'll be fine from here. I'm like, what's this idiot on? Goes out there, goes out there and bats with Connor McDermott. This is when Connor McDermott has not played any. This is his third ever game of cricket. This bloke has not played anything. Yeah. No juniors. Connor McDermott and Jim August go out there and put on 79 together. Get us to 160. So we need 5 to win.
Oh, that's right. Now I remember I got out.
Yeah.
And it was, didn't you bat?
No, nah, Jake Lockyer came
Jake
in.
Jake Lockyer, and that's
and,
right.
And then.
And Murray went into and hit the ball to that bloke.
Oh,
and he dropped
mate.
It.
We needed 2 to win. And we've told Murray before he goes out, just keep just it on, block it. Yeah. You know, if you have to push and run, better than. And we need 2 to win, and he has gone for it and just skied it straight up. The easiest dolly to mid-on.
And he dropped it.
Mid-on drops it. Next ball, Jake Lockyer hits it fine leg, run a single, and we win.
They ran. We needed 1 then, and they ran 2, and they got run out on the last.
They
got the winning run, and then got
and
run
then
out.
And then decided
on the
to go
ball,
for a 2.
On a 2.
But we, it's the most Murray thing.
But yeah. It was the most Murray thing, but we won. Yeah, we did
disastrous.
Win. Yeah, see, Matt, we won that game. I don't know what the issue was.
Just quietly, yeah. 2 runs for 1 wicket as well.
Who?
Yeah,
I do remember that because they wouldn't bowl me.
And well, you bowled at
the last 2 balls. I remember that.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest. As
I
much
wasn't captain.
Yeah, as much as it is captain, though, you'd come and go, "Oh, let me sort this out again. Move there, do that, do this." Because you're like, "Burnsy, give me the ball here," and then you just take over and sort it out.
Did we win?
We did win.
Well, that's all that matters.
I shout Dan Jackson as well.
Didn't we make the grand
74 in a one day? That's pretty large.
Very nice.
We made the grand final there, didn't we, mate?
We did. You didn't play in it.
No. I think I gave my position to someone else.
You did. I think you might have scored more runs, but a very honourable thing of you to do. Now, moving on, I did want to mention the South Bertram clashes we had, because there were a few. We did mention this one before. They made 180. We made 186, and they got 184 in response. They were sending players out around the boundary at the end, trying to say that we were cheating. And then, as you said before, you got the last over, and fortunately bowled us to victory.
Yes, Gunny's round. We had to do it for Gunny.
it was a special day for everyone.
It was a special day. It was.
I do recall.
Is he still playing?
Not. I'm not too sure.
Oh, okay.
We'll have to wait and see.
Not sure. I'm seeing Gunny for years. Just. Didn't know if he was playing or not.
Fair enough. I do recall early in that over, you actually had a bloke like clearly stumped by about a metre and a half. He ran all the way down the wicket, and their square leg gave it not out. And we had Manu keeping, and he translated and said, "They said I just couldn't give it. I couldn't give it." He was like, "I remember like the length of this table out."
He was close.
Like,
it was close. It was a close call. We did go to the third umpire, but apparently the camera was out, so we couldn't get it.
I have a theory. They just don't give. No. Stumpings in one day is.
Yeah, I don't think stumpings are a rule.
I think they're not. It's run outs. They have to be run out.
Yeah.
So
Richard played a game once, and someone asked, "What's a stumping when they're square legging?" I think I remember that might have been juniors or something.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I don't think they play. They don't play anymore, do they, South Bertram?
No. I think they might have stopped after that year. They might have one more.
Because didn't you threaten to go to South Bertram a couple of times? I'm sure you were.
It would have been
us.
A joke.
Oh, so you did say it.
Probably as a joke. I've never hated a team more than I hated them, to be honest.
They've got better windows at their houses over there.
Oh.
Easier to open up.
Do you know how many times I have to describe that story to people when people ask me why you name windows? Okay, well, this guy named Jim, and he gave me a lift once, so I knew the back street way home. And it's really stuck. He really just plastered it on me.
It's a good nickname, isn't it? Windows.
It is. Yeah, sure. Now, we did talk about the other South Bertram game earlier, so we'll gloss over that one.
That wasn't a good game, man. We lost that one.
You did go berserk, though.
Still lost it.
I've seen some good innings. That was one of the best. Now, the semi-final, you played against Cannington Football Duck.
Where was that?
Because you pulled out of the grand final to let Sibby play.
And did I get a 4-ball duck in the semi final?
You did.
That's probably when I realised it was done, Matt.
I mean,
how did I get out? Did I get caught?
Bowled.
So I couldn't see the ball. Blind.
I remember we were.
Remember that one. But
we were 8 for 99. Then me and Jono just got us to 125. Fortunately, I was there to save the day.
We bowled them out, did we?
Yeah, for 111. I remember Azza was on a hat-trick, and Connor McDermott dove, and it just fell short of him for the hat-trick ball. But unfortunately, we didn't go on to win that grand final.
That's a shame.
So the game you talk about, your one-handed catch, like a lot?
still the greatest catch I've ever taken in my life. You, me, yeah, what, in the grand final. You weren't there because you're 12th man for the A's.
Oh, the Thornley game.
But there was a lot of talk about it afterwards.
Well, I got messages that you blokes were going really well. So
we were.
I thought, oh, this is good. This has worked out. Because it wasn't Sibs that I gave it to. I think it was Jimmy Bryant. And
Sibby you gave it to, and Jim Bryant came back from a knee injury. He'd been out for like 8 weeks.
Yeah, and he'd never played in one. So I think it was him and Tom.
I think Johnny sat out. And Mick Case had to go back to New Zealand.
Yeah, did Tom Bryant play in that game as well?
He did,
I think I wanted to give one of those boys a run at it.
Mick Kay couldn't play because he had to go back to New Zealand because unfortunately his father passed away. Oh, okay. So he was out as well. He was our leading wicket taker. So
depleted.
And I remember we had him on toast in that grand final.
I thought you did.
I did take a miracle catch. I don't think I'd ever take a catch like that ever again. I still don't know how it held. 126 we rolled him for. But
I heard you went fully horizontal.
I did. I really did. That was the rumours. I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it today. I'd never reenact it. We're pretty much through, Jim. But before we go, there were some things you wanted to mention about Sean's efforts on the podcast last time. And are there any questions you want to ask us or any thoughts and feelings you want to leave us with?
I did listen to the first episode because, you know, it got plastered everywhere and I was getting messages left, right and centre. So I did listen to it. And I have heard Matt's chats. You know, I'm a big fan of Matt's chats.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to the Darbs episode, which I thought was out. So I'm scouring through iTunes looking for it and I can't find it. But I know you're a big fan of the word like.
Oh, no.
I think I counted 47 in about 3 minutes.
Oh, wow.
You know, like, you know, I like to, you know, when you like this and you like that, and yeah, nah was another one of your big ones. Yeah, nah. So I'm very appreciative of the high quality, you know, work that you're doing here, Sean.
But I have a very good vocabulary, Jim, so I like to change it up a bit.
See, that would like. I thought it was Facebook.
I can read. There is a podcast review from James August.
Is there?
No, podcast review?
Did it finally make it through?
He's given it 5 stars. He says, entertaining podcast from some up and coming hipsters. These guys bring a vibe that we haven't heard since the 60s. These guys rock and will soon be superstars. Can't get enough of their laid back talk about all things sports, in particular Kenwick cricket. Top notch guys, keep it up. That very respectful comment from James.
Just trying to, you know, keep it going, boys, keep it going, you know. I think it's a good idea having your little podcast and
good happy, way to keep the club
happy to be a
involved.
Guest, Manny.
Oh, any time, Jim. Anything you want to ask us before we're done?
Not so much you guys, but just obviously a bit of a shout out to Blake Ashworth and his family. You know, the sad news today that he's passed away. Blake played obviously with the cricket club and the footy club. I think Blake played over 50 games for Kenwick cricket club, and I believe he even played this year sometime up in February. I think was his last game.
Yeah.
So bit sad, the news. I only found out that he was pretty ill yesterday, but and then to hear that he passed this afternoon is pretty sad. So I think it puts life in perspective. You know, everyone complaining about being locked down for COVID and all that sort of stuff, when really, you know, that guy,
our issues aren't that big.
They're not that big. And that guy, he just, you know, the stuff he had to go through in his life, and you never heard him complain once.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a it's a real sad day, and condolences to his family in this rather, you know, somber time, and I hope they can get through it, and really puts life in perspective, I think. That's it for me.
No, very good words, Jim. I think we'll leave it on that. Thank you again for coming on, Jim. Really appreciate it, mate.
Thank you, guys. I look forward to episode 3.